The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October 1984.
The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor. The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with the University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have most of our regulars with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. On his right, from the Department of Psychology, Professor Robert O'Neill.
Proud to be here.
Oh, we're proud to have you here.
As always.
Okay. On his right, from the, and directly across from me, in fact, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Mary Jo Nichols.
It's really nice to be here.
It's nice to be here, too, and have you here. And on Mary's...
You don't have to respond to all of them.
I don't?
And some of them are rhetorical statements.
Ed enjoys conversing with people.
It's actually, small, I'm enjoying something trivial. Else, which I can't even describe on the air. And on Mary Jo's right, from the Department of History, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Hello, Edwin.
And on Sarah's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Happy to be here, Ed.
Oh, good to have you. All right. Most of the questions you hear on this program are sent in by our listeners.
Did you hear about John Klemanski's new book?
No.
Yeah. It's How to Live with Schizophrenia by John and John Klemanski.
John and Joanna.
Yes.
Whoa,
no,
I wasn't going
there's
to
There's implications
that.
There.
Yes. I don't know. Just a minute here.
Anyhow, most of the questions you do hear on this program are sent in by our listeners. If you stump the panel, you will receive an autographed photograph of the panel.
For sure.
Great.
For sure.
Yes. If you fail to stump the panel...
We're not just talking this year.
No, sir.
No. If you fail to stump the panel, you will receive a photographed autograph of the panel and
a sticker
bumper stinker. Stop that. And in fact, if you send in anything, and we even tear it up and throw it in the wastebasket laughing hysterically, you will get, the producer is waving his arms and saying, no, you won't.
You will get an incurable disease.
Yes. He doesn't know how many bumper stickers have been ordered.
Transmitted through the ether.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to talk about that. In any event, if you end up with your name being read on the air in some way or another, either being humiliated or emerging triumphantly, you'll get a bumper sticker.
Yay.
Do we agree on that?
Yes.
Well, right. We do.
Okay. Producer's shaking his head.
Okay. Yes. He's got to have some power.
Yes. All right. Okay.
He could cut us off the...
Our first set of questions comes from Joseph Mossman, and there aren't questions, in fact. It's a letter. Joseph Mossman of Des Moines, Iowa, who says, this morning I heard Ask the Professor through radio station KSO Des Moines. Mm-hmm. Being an ordinary human, or an approximation thereof, I couldn't, of course, simply write a nice letter of appreciation and gratitude.
Sure.
No, I had to wait until I could pounce upon what I think is an error, or apparent error.
Oops.
You credited, I must get out of these wet clothes and into a dry martini, to Alexander Wolcott. All my life I believed it was Robert Benchley's. But only the other day I ran across this quote from Tom Burnham's More Misinformation, a book about miscredited quotations, faulty beliefs, and all that.
Uh-huh.
He writes, I must get out of these clothes and into a dry martini attributed to Alexander Wolcott. But if Wolcott said it, he got it from Benchley, who heard it from a press agent. Benchley liked the line, said he wished he'd said it, and so he did in one of his films. On that basis, the honor goes to an unknown press agent. Okay. Thank you for your splendid
program. That would
be
a good set of questions,
though. UPA.
Right?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
It would.
Why don't you send in some of those?
Yeah.
Think
Why
about
don't you?
It.
And
yeah.
We'll get the book.
Yeah.
Thank you for the reference.
Yes. Okay, well, thank Mr. Mossman. We're glad he's alert out there.
We're not beneath research, you know.
Keeping us on our toes.
As a last resort.
Yes.
When all else fails, look it up.
Okay, our first set of questions
if
comes from...
If you can't make it up, look it up. That's our motto.
Gaze toward the producer.
Our first set of questions comes from Paul Jones. And
John Paul Jones.
From Dearborn Heights, Michigan. He says,
Dearborn
I have listened
Heights.
To your excellent show for years. I have never sent in a set of questions. I've decided to now. I'm getting tired of all the questions about antiquated movies and popular songs.
Yes,
we
so are.
Right off.
I blame you. So here are some questions on the
Civil War.
I knew it. It had to be. Exactly. Yeah.
Frankly,
we're tired of those.
We're more
too,
tired
Mr.
of
Jones.
Here are the answers. 11:03 p.m.
Let me tell you, Mr. Jones,
Abner
you're
Double Day
from way behind. Appomattox.
Okay, I'm not going to go through all of these.
Good.
Of course not.
No.
J.E.B. Stewart.
Let's just take some at random here.
Beauregard.
In May of 1864, General Sherman began his famous march to bring the Confederacy to its knees. What was this march called?
The March to the Sea.
That's right.
And it went right through Atlanta, which is nowhere near the sea.
Yes.
But you have, that's right.
Little detours.
Following a scorched earth policy.
That's true.
Well, we know that.
They stopped for lunch. Mm-hmm.
Yes. What battle is considered the one that broke General Lee's back? Hint, Lincoln delivered a famous address.
Well, it is.
It's aftermath.
Yeah, it's Gettysburg.
That's right. What is considered the bloodiest battle of the Civil War? Or the bloodiest single day of the Civil War? I'll accept the battle.
Was that during Gettysburg?
Mm-mm.
It was not, because that was extremely bloody.
Yeah.
Was it part of Sherman's march?
No.
Was it the first battle?
No.
Bunker Hill?
That was Bull Run.
Not Antioch, but
Antietam.
Antietam.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's funny. I would have thought it would have been one of the Bull Runs, because that was the one where everybody came out of Washington in wagons to watch the battle. And
with picnic baskets.
Picnics, mm-hmm. They got caught in the rout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with picnic mm-hmm. baskets just, to watch the
awful.
Watch the boys
yes.
fight. It.
Yes.
It's hard to imagine.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
Okay, our final question. I mean, this is, I'm just trying to.
Well, these are short and sweet.
I want Sarah to say something.
Okay.
Hi.
Well,
you've already
something.
Done that.
You've already done that, Sarah.
John spoke for you.
Yes, you get a marvelous.
Did you get my snotty accent right?
Not,
right
not,
on.
Well, it wasn't. It was close, but not. No,
John,
cigar.
You're getting good at this impersonation.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
He people
looks,
will think
he looks
Sarah's
wonderful,
here.
Doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. I like your earrings.
Yes.
One step at a time.
Okay. Now, in what battle?
Let it go on your ears.
Oh.
Not fair, John.
Can't get all the details.
In what battle was Stonewall Jackson mortally wounded?
New Orleans.
Mm-mm.
Really?
Oh, well, some.
That's not what I have.
He said, go put me by the trees over there.
Oh,
man.
Mortally wounded.
Yeah.
Mortally wounded. You mean he died?
Yes. Yes, he
well,
was shot three times.
It was in...
Think of an NBC News correspondent.
Chancellorsville.
Sander Van
yes.
Oker?
Chancellorsville. Very good. Very well, we thank Mr. Jones. We'll make him a winner. I mean, even though we didn't even bother with half.
But no more Civil War questions, please, for a while.
Mud Run.
Bury my hat at Brokaw Knee.
Roger Mudrun.
But he will get the autograph, photograph, and the bumper sticker.
Oh.
And send in some more, as long as they're not Civil War questions.
Generous.
That will be just fine and dandy. Now, our next set of questions comes from David Lambert of Holly, Michigan.
Indeed.
Who says, 'Tis I, David Lambert, here again to match wits with the professors. In my ongoing efforts to stump your panel, I... stop on the ninth letter of the alphabet, I.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Yes.
Islamabad.
All of the answers to the questions I pose will begin with the letter I.
That's got to be one of them.
Incas.
You must get 10 out of 12 correct.
Itches.
Idiots. Morons.
Imbeciles.
Izod shirts.
What? Izod shirts.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Ichabod cream.
Roll them.
What film was based on the Scopes monkey trial?
Inherit the Wind.
The Wind.
Yes.
Wind, which has an I in it.
Oh, very good. To what school do Monet, Renoir,
Impressionists.
And very good. Very good.
Sure, but did they get degrees?
That's right.
All them finger paints.
What?
Looks like a Montessori school. Creativity and all.
Yeah, well, you know. What was the nickname of actress Thelma Todd?
The It Girl.
No, that's Clara Bow.
Oh.
The Itch Girl.
The Isn't Girl.
Thelma what?
Thelma Todd.
Ooh.
It had to do with the color of her hair, and it was...
Indigo.
No.
That's me.
Mood. Shall we sing it? The color of her hair.
Uh-huh.
What other color begins with I?
No.
Ivory?
No.
Ick. Iridescent.
Her hair color did not begin with I. It was...
Well, then why did
blank,
you mention it?
Blank. I mean, she is...
Inky black.
She's a blonde.
Okay. Yes.
She's an inky blonde.
So it was an... Word begins with I.
Ice blonde.
Very...
Icy blonde.
Hold that for a moment.
Hold Iceberg. That thought.
Ice.
Frigid. Frigid.
Ice bland.
And something that is...
Ice and fire.
White.
Ice snow.
Icicle.
Not snow.
Ice
something you buy fog. In stores.
Dandruff.
Eat.
Cream.
Yes.
Ice cream girl.
The ice cream...
Woman.
I've already given
blonde.
It. Yes, the blonde. Ice cream blonde. Yes.
This wasn't worth it, frankly.
No,
no it wasn't. It really wasn't. No.
What color is that?
Chocolate.
Fudge ripple.
It's a chocolate blonde.
I guess. All right. Whose theme song is If I Didn't Care?
Johnny Mathis.
The Ink Spots.
Oh, the Ink Spots. Thank you. Okay. What's the name of the horse Caligula raised to the consulship?
I thought he made him a cardinal.
E. Diablo.
Icarus.
No. E. Solisti.
Pegasus. Oh.
Yeah, E. Solisti di Roma.
Ike.
No, I'll have to
Mr.
Give...
Id.
No. It's not one of that's good.
That's true, too.
Yes, it probably is. Oh, it's Incitatus.
Oh, of course.
Not one of those
of
names.
That missed is, that one.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm like...
What was Apollo 12's lunar module called?
Whoa.
It's also a British spy called this.
Intrepid.
Yes. Very good.
Hmm.
Or intrepidity.
Hmm. What's the name of the award at the Academy Awards to a person noted for consistent high quality?
Miss Congeniality.
With the film industry, it's kind of like your contribution to all of filmdom over the last 50 years. You get this award.
An Isaiah.
No, no.
I mean, is it that sort of thing? Like it's another word, like there's an Oscar if you...
Yes, it's named after he was a young director at MGM and producer who was married to Norma Shearer and died in his mid-40s. You know, he was the boy wonder of Hollywood in the 30s. And Norma Shearer was his wife.
And it starts with I.
His first name does.
Irving.
Irving, yes. Irving. I'll accept that.
The Irving...
It's Thalberg.
Thalberg.
That's right. It's Thalberg. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In other words, he didn't do anything. He just made three crummy films with Norma Shearer and then croaked. That's what he did. Roger is looking at me curiously.
He's offended by that.
Well, so. You've seen Romeo and Juliet, haven't you? Yes. Now you understand.
That was Franco Zeffirelli.
No, this is
that
another
one. That was a
one.
Good film.
This is another one.
Oh, 50 years this before.
This is Leslie Howard.
Come on, let's get to Islamabad.
It's not going to get to Islamabad.
It's not on there?
No.
It's the only capital of the state.
What's the famous line
beginning with an I?
By Jack Dempsey after Gene Tunney beat him in the World Heavyweight Championship.
I could have been a contender.
No.
I hurt.
I hurt, yeah.
No, not I hurt.
Is it I something?
I something.
I quit.
I shall
lost.
Return.
No. I lost.
I was robbed.
No. No, I'll have to give it to you.
Yes.
I guess I forgot to duck.
Oh.
mm-hmm.
What book by Thomas A. Kempis was Pope John Paul I reading when he died?
Imitation of Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Bestseller in the Middle Ages.
Yes. Yes.
Imitatio Christi, yeah. I believe we call it.
That's sure.
Mm. That's really amazing.
This is a university program. Let me just remind right. the panelists.
Yes. Yes.
What language was that?
Portuguese.
Dutch.
Swedish.
What was the first country?
Iduva.
What was the first country to use an adhesive postage stamp? No. What was the first country to use? No, it wasn't Switzerland.
Of course not. Inja. It doesn't begin with I.
That's right. What am I thinking?
It may in some language, though.
Inja.
Sure could. No,
Islamabad.
Inja.
Iceland.
No.
What's the question?
Iceland.
The first country to use an adhesive postage stamp.
It has to start with I.
That's right.
And it's not India.
That's right.
It's not Iceland.
That's right.
So.
Well, how did stamps adhere?
Indonesia.
Well, think of posting a cuneiform letter.
Oh. Iran or Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
Iraq.
One of those. Iraq, yes.
That's
it would have to be Iraq. Yeah.
Yes. That's where the Sumer.
The rivers.
You want to send your mud tablet.
Yeah.
When was that?
Well, I don't know, because I was convinced that the first adhesive postage stamp was invented by the British in the 19th century.
So that'd be England.
Yes. While we ponder this, let's take a little break.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from October of 1985. We're pleased to bring you these special classic shows throughout the summer months, and thank you for listening. Now, let's return to this classic Ask the Professor show from October 1985.
We're back, yes, with our questions from David Lambert. We have two more to go. What were Thomas Edison's last words?
I quit.
No.
It must be I.
I gotta
did
be
it.
Me.
Oh.
Not I. It begins with I.
It's
over.
Mm-hmm.
It's just beginning.
It's close. It's a description of some place that he is going to.
It arrives.
Not it glows.
It's hot.
It's hot, yeah.
No, he wasn't going to a reactor. It beckons.
Well, no.
It calls.
It cometh.
No.
It vanished.
Itsy bitsy?
No, he is describing it. He is saying it is.
Oh, wonderful.
That's close.
Awesome.
Let's say
beautiful.
Beautiful. I'll accept that. It is very beautiful over there.
That's not two words.
No, I thought we were looking
for it was two words.
Well, George, see, we misunderstood. I thought we were looking for one word.
Boy, we violated the rules.
This is
there.
A whole
yeah.
sentence.
Okay.
And finally, another whole sentence.
Your error.
appeal.
It's a good thing
this
we got that.
Especially
one.
For George.
Okay.
No.
What was Judy Garland's closing song on her TV series?
Insipid.
I don't know. That starts with I.
No. Think of General MacArthur. It's a variation.
I came, I saw
I will return.
You. I won't That's return. Close.
And I came, I saw
I'll her. Be seeing you in Apple Blossom time.
No.
Isn't that
I
what
shall
MacArthur
return.
Said when he left the Philippines?
I shall.
That's what he said.
I'll return.
I will return.
I'll
That's
return
another way of saying
in.
That.
I'll be back.
I'll accept that. I will come back.
And she kept doing it.
She certainly did.
For a while.
Yeah. Well, you got.
All of them right.
The mm-hmm. 10 out of 12.
Just oh, about. Okay.
Give him a sticker bumper and a photographed autograph.
Yes.
He'll have a lot of bumper stickers as he accumulates these.
Mm-hmm. He certainly
he can buy cars.
He can do that. He can buy cars and put them on.
Mm-hmm. That'll keep the economy going.
That's right. We thank Mr. Lambert and send in
we
Jay. We're waiting for Jay
yes.
now. Those are fun.
The junk
I look
question.
Forward to Mr. Lambert's questions.
What happens when we get through the alphabet?
He'll well, start over.
We'll start with
over.
Double letters. Aardvark.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yes,
yeah.
that's
oh,
right.
Aaron.
That's
yeah.
Right. Next set of questions.
Baboon.
Cocoon.
Bing Crosby sorts of things.
Yes. Right. Our next set of questions comes from Jim Ford of Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
All right.
Oh,
hey.
Tar Heel.
Y'all come back here?
On down there?
I don't know. What's...
Oh, is he traveling?
I don't know. He doesn't say. This just starts right in.
All right.
Starts right in.
Good.
No complimentary phrases?
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Okay.
Like,
business-like.
Hi, guys, or well, anything.
Maybe he's never heard the show.
That could be it.
He doesn't know the drill. He's supposed to say something nice.
Yes. What is the oldest of the nation's seagoing armed services?
Coast Guard.
Yes. Very good.
Oh.
Yes,
which
these,
is just what John was about to say.
Coast yeah, and no, Geodetic Survey.
These all deal with the various aspects of Americana, by the way.
Oh, Americana.
Okay.
That's a
who,
big hint.
Who was the first Secretary of the Treasury?
Hamilton.
Yes, very good. In what year
George.
Did the Quasi-War begin?
You see his picture on a lot of bills.
Yeah, and he's always doing those Diamond Mortgage ads. In what year did the Quasi-War begin?
What Quasi-War?
That's what it's called, Quasi.
The Quasi were an Indian tribe that we were vowed to exterminate.
That must
oh,
be
the good. Quasis.
18.
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. 17.
Yes.
60.
And right near the end of the century.
90.
Yes.
3.
8.
8 is right.
Bob hit it right on the old button.
I'll tell you.
The quasi guy.
What is the westernmost island of the Aleutians?
Russia.
Not yet. Attuk.
Attu, that's right. From what state does the continental...
Who are you going to sneeze at?
From what state does the Continental Divide enter Mexico?
New
legally
Mexico.
Legally or illegally?
Yes, New Mexico. That's the next question. Is the name to do it legally or illegally?
And will the Simpson-Mazzoli bill still allow it?
Right.
Finally, who is the governor of West Virginia?
Jay.
Rockefeller.
That's right.
P.
See, they only know his last name.
Yeah.
J-A-Y.
Jay.
Is he Republican or Democrat?
We thank Mr. Ford.
He's a Democrat, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. From Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Yeah, we'll those are very good. Again, they were
next
short
time
and sweet.
With some nice little comments about how much he appreciates this show and worships all of us from afar. But until that time.
That page must have got lost.
I think it
this is page 2.
You know how the mails are.
Not a complete letter.
Producers tear off the cover letters.
I guess they do. Okay, next set of questions comes from Russell Berman of Beverly Hills, California. He says, I listen to your program from 12 midnight to 12:30 a.m. on a Sunday night.
Oof.
No less. School's the next morning. However, as it is the summer, this was in August.
How was sixth grade coming along?
I loyally settled down next to my radio each Sunday night or Monday morning and became inspired to write in.
Okay.
Become inspired. I don't know. Following our 20 questions, 17 of which you need to answer to pass.
A lot he knows.
They are on a variety of subjects. Okay.
Okay.
Which U.S. president never married?
Buchanan.
Yes.
Elliot.
Soon
Buchanan.
To be the subject of a major study by John Boswell. What was the first president to speak on? Who was
That's
the first
correct.
President to speak on radio?
Well, maybe radio. It was
who?
Harding.
Roosevelt?
No.
No, Harding?
No, it's before Harding.
Then it's Wilson.
That's right. Hmm. Woodrow Wilson.
That must have been right in 1920 because that's when radio started. It was 1920.
Who wrote The Mayor of Casteridge?
Thomas Hardy.
Hardy.
Yes. What poet committed suicide after writing The Bell Jar? I mean, I don't think it was cause and effect.
No, I don't think so.
Sylvia Plath.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many innings constitute an official baseball game?
Four and a half.
Five.
Four and a half is actually enough. But.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah. What southern city is the setting of William Faulkner's The Sound and the Fury? What southern city?
It's that real long
it's
name in Mississippi.
It's Yachtna County.
Right.
Yes, the answer I have is Mississippi. No, that's not a city.
Mississippi.
It's Yachtna Potofna County.
Yeah.
Right. Near the Okeechobee.
All of his books, I think.
Just about.
Well, maybe not all, but most of them take place there.
What were the names of the three Bronte sisters?
Emily,
Charlotte,
and Charlotte.
Emily.
That's right.
What's the
Emily
and
Charlotte.
Lefty.
That's right.
Anne. Did she write? I don't know Anne.
Yeah, they all write.
They all did.
Yeah. She took dictation.
All of them.
Did Lefty write?
On the Mary Tyler Moore Show, what were the names of Mary's two neighbors, played by Valerie Harper and Cloris Leachman?
Emily and Charlotte.
Lefty and... No, it's not going to work.
They all become
Rhoda.
Subjects
Rhoda.
Of shows.
Rhoda was one.
Yeah.
And
what was the other? Who did the other?
Cloris Leachman.
Yeah.
Did she get a show out of it, too?
Yes, she did.
She
with
did.
The same name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rhoda?
No.
Rhoda, too.
Mary Tyler
Rhoda, too. Rhoda in San Francisco.
Rhododendron.
Rhoda Tiller.
Rhoda Way.
I don't remember.
We should know that.
Think of the name of the wife of the governor of Kentucky.
Elizabeth.
Name.
Phyllis.
Yes.
That was the show?
Yeah.
Schlafly?
Oh.
Phyllis.
Diller.
Who won not only fame, but an Emmy Award portraying Jamie Summers, better known as the Bionic Woman?
What?
Leslie Wagner.
That's close enough. Lindsay Way. Got an Emmy.
For what?
It's hard to play a bionic person.
It's one of those categories, you know, best performance as a bionic woman in a continuing
series. In a car going sideways on two wheels, yes.
No, during the month of October.
Yeah. I mean, really? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was a popular movie, but who wrote the book?
Ken Kesey.
That's right. Who won Best Actor and Actress for the film?
Louise
Fletcher.
Fletcher.
And Jack Nicholson.
Right. That's right.
Mark Spitz at the 1972 Olympics won how many gold medals? That's right, seven. Which president signed the Constitution? There were two people who were to become presidents.
Well, Jefferson and Adams.
Nope.
Neither of them?
Neither of them.
The Constitution.
They didn't want their names on that document.
Oh, the Constitution.
Well, was Washington there?
Washington was one.
And then
Hamilton.
Monroe.
No. Begins with an M, though.
Madison.
Okay. Yes. Who won a Pulitzer Prize for the Kane Mutiny?
Woke. Whoever wrote it.
Yes. Who was that?
Herman Wouk.
That's right.
Wouk.
Very good. Jessica Lange was the second actress to win Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress Oscar nominations in the same year. Who was the first to do so in 1942?
Betty Davis.
Nope.
In 42?
Jean Arthur.
Ida Lupino.
Nope.
For what was it? Well, let's figure what was the film in 42.
That's a good question. Bogart, she won it for the supporting role.
Lauren Bacall.
Oh.
Catherine
Hepburn?
Is it someone that went on to have a long career?
Well, an intermittent career. And she just showed up in London this last summer acting in a play there. She hasn't been doing anything since the early 50s.
Deborah Carr?
No. It's an American actress.
Don't know.
Teresa Wright.
Hmm.
Yeah, who was one of those people
that
was always
that woman.
Around. But,
yeah.
Never a square.
Terry Wright.
How many floors are there in the Empire State Building?
Right. 102.
Yes.
Bob.
Two.
That would be 102.
Wow.
102.
Very good. Who was the first black to pitch in Major League Baseball?
Paige.
Satchel Paige.
That's right. In the film Frances, whose acclaimed portrayal of actress Frances Farmer won her an Oscar nomination?
Jessica Lange.
That's right.
I thought we just said that.
No, we just had Jessica Lange earlier.
Oh.
Now we have a question to which she is the answer.
Well, we're going to
have to. Would that be Jessica Lange?
That's the end of the question. The time for the day. We've got two more questions to finish up on our next program. And
we'll do
that in our next program.
Yes.
Make a note of that.
So just hang in there, Mr. Berman. In the meantime, to thank the panel, Professor Pickering,
sure.
Professor O'Neill, Professor Nichols, Professor Gravel, Professor Klemanski, and now this word.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed through the facilities of the E.J. and A.U. Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit campus. Ask the Professor was produced by Paul Murray, assisted by Roger Hino. Technical director is Jim Muir. Executive producer is Vivian Dix. And until next time, this is your host, Edwin DeWitt.
And I'm Michael Jason. We're back next week with another classic episode of Ask the Professor. So please plan to join us.